And now I have Terry Deignan of he's CEO of Epic. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning. How are you?
Thanks very much for taking the call. Now we're going to talk about this report from Dublin South Central Foster Care Service. But before that, will you just tell the listeners a little bit about Epic, Empowering People in Care?
Sure, yeah, absolutely, and thanks for the opportunity. Epic is a national charity organisation which provides support to young people who are both in care and in aftercare, young people who are in the process of leaving care or have left care. We provide a number of things. One, essentially, is advocacy support, and that's really supporting young people to find, you know, their entitlements, if they're entitled to accommodation, to information. So anything that a young person might need during care or after care, our advocates actually provide that support to them. Really, the role of the advocate is to basically represent the voice of the child or young person. We also engage in research and in policy development and effectively advise and influence policy around the care of children and young people nationally.
Yes, yeah, so I spoke with Epic before, and the last time I was talking, we were talking about it. There's a lack of aftercare in Ireland.
Yeah, there's. I mean, it's being addressed, to be fair, but there is still a lack of aftercare, and I think more concerning for us is that there's an inconsistency in where and how aftercare is provided. So, you know, when you look across the country, in some areas, aftercare generally, you know, is provided to young people in reasonably good order. In other areas, it's not. And so what we would like to address initially is the inconsistency. So we have consistency around information young people get about aftercare and then how aftercare is delivered to those young people. Because effectively, you know, the system as it exists now means when a young person in care turns 18, they're effectively released out of care, and it's important that we continue to support them, provide the care for them. And that's not happening to the level or with a consistent level that we would like to see.
Right. Now, we talk about this Dublin South Central Foster Care Service report, and it wasn't very nice, to say the least. Would you want it?
No, it was alarming, I think, yeah. Generally, is the easiest way to put it, because effectively we were dealing with a report where only one standard, you know, was met across more than 20 standards, which immediately raises huge concerns. But I suppose, you know, effectively what we were dealing with was something that the report said was a crisis-led system, where, you know, the things that we would see as basic minimum requirements for children in foster care weren't being met. And they were things like assessing foster carers properly and vetting of staff who are working within the service, you know, following up on reports of children who may be at risk, and most concerning of all, children who, where there were identified risks, being left in that foster care placement. Despite the fact that, you know, concerns have been raised about the safety and welfare of that child. And for us, that's key. I mean, the minimum we need is to provide, you know, a safe, secure environment for the children, hopefully a loving and caring environment as well. But certainly we shouldn't be in a situation now where we're leaving children in services and in care placements where there are real, seriously concerning identified risks for those children and young people.
And there was that terrible case recently where a person was left in an abusive situation for years.
Well, we're dealing with you know, the Grace case, and there are unfortunately, you know, a number of similar cases that I know that Grace is the one that most people probably would be familiar with, but there have been other cases very similar to that, you know, where effectively decisions weren't made in relation to the best means of securing the safety and welfare of that young person. And we have a number of cases where young people, where there were real identified risks, being left within that area of care and with particular care placements for a long, long time after that was identified. And, you know, where we are at the moment is the system hasn't changed sufficiently to ensure that won't happen again. So we're looking at potentially, unless we make radical changes as a matter of urgency to the system as it exists now, we're looking at more of those cases happening to be due to it, you know, into the future. And I think that's the real concern, is that we've identified the failings, but we're not moving quickly enough to address those failings in the manner that we should be doing. And I think, you know, the one young person is one young person too many, but we're talking about many more young people than that, and children.
Now, who has to take responsibility for this, Terry? Who should be looking after this and making sure that they're...
I think in the first instance, obviously, it's the statutory body that is basically given responsibility for this. So in this case, it's TUSLA. So TUSLA obviously has to take, you know, primary responsibility for that. Where we're dealing with private providers, obviously, you know, there's an oversight element in that in terms of organisations that will go in and look at the quality of that service. But, you know, there is also, I have to say, a collective responsibility, and I'm not passing on anything here, but everybody needs to be aware and raise issues where they can. And to, you know, from what we see here at Epic, you know, where there are concerns, they are being raised, and people are actually bringing that to the attention. But ultimately, I think, you know, to go back to the original question, TUSLA have the primary responsibility here for making sure that everything that should be in place in terms of the structures and the protection structures are there. And, you know, HICWA are playing an important role in actually going out and assessing the quality of services and raising concerns where they find them about those services. So effectively, where we are now is we have a service that TUSLA themselves are saying is underfunded and requires additional funding to increase the quality of the service. But beyond that, we need to address fundamentals. You know, regardless of what funding is or is not there, we can't have a situation where adults who are working with children and vulnerable young people are not being guarded, vetted, where reports aren't being responded to in a timely manner, and where decisions are not being made around the safety of children, where concerns have been raised about the safety of those particular children and young people.
Now, we will say that the majority of foster carers are brilliant people, fantastic people.
Absolutely, yeah.
And but there are still, this is still going on. So what's the problem? Yeah. Is it lack of policing, or, as you said, is it down to funding?
I think it's a mixture of things, because it's important to say, as you rightly said, the majority of foster carers do a fantastic job, and the majority of professionals working with children on the front line, you know, are dedicated, committed professionals. But where the failings occur, you and we are seeing often that it is a case where the structures in place is not supporting those people, either the foster parents or the professionals who are working with those foster parents and with the children, young people in foster care. And that comes down in part to resources, but also in part to attitude. You know, we have a system where there's often breakdowns in communication, and that's, again, around the structure and how that's structured, where there's not clarity around who ultimately has responsibility, and where there's not clarity around who should be accountable for particular things. And that's where decisions go unmet and unmade, and where there are issues that arise, then it becomes unclear as to who's responsible for making that decision in the first place, who's accountable to whom for those things. So I think we have a system where we have a lot of confusion around structure, and I think what we need to do in the initial phase is to address the structure, how it's structured, to make sure it's fit for purpose, that there's clarity around how issues and concerns are communicated, and then there's a follow-on to make sure that anybody who's charged and has responsibility for addressing those or responding to those does so. And if they don't, then there are consequences for not doing that. And I think we're lacking some of that at the moment.
Now, there's people out there listening and they're saying, this is terrible that this is still going on. What can the ordinary person on the street do to try and get this changed? And
you know, when I talk about a kind of collective responsibility, it's difficult to see how an ordinary person who's not involved in some way in this can do anything. But I think to raise awareness of this is something that EPIC and a lot of other organisations that work in this area are doing, to raise awareness around the fact that we still haven't reached a point where we can guarantee the safety of children and young people in foster care. And I think it's important that people are aware of that we haven't reached that point yet. I think one thing maybe that some people feel is that when we hear about a lot of these cases, people feel it's something that happened in the industrial schools, it's historic, it's happened, you know, decades ago. I think the one thing people need to realise and be aware of is that it's continuing to happen. I mean, there are still dangers that we're repeating the mistakes of the past, and I think that's one thing that people can actually be aware of, that this is not, you know, 10 years ago or 20 or 30 years ago. This is continuing. We still have a system that's not completely fit for purpose that needs a lot of work. And to raise their concerns around that with, you know, with their local representatives is always helpful in making sure that this stays on the agenda, making sure that we don't feel we've done everything we had to do and now we can move on. We're very far off that point in time. So I think for the ordinary person, it's basically just to have that concern, to understand that this is ongoing, and to raise those concerns where they can and where they have the opportunity with public representatives and others to make sure that people don't feel, and this doesn't drop off the agenda, because this is critical. In terms of you know, where we go with this, I think it is a collective voice. I think we need to keep talking about this. We need to keep raising this as an issue until we get, you know, a system in place that's fit for purpose. Because, you know, when we look back at the history of care of children in care in Ireland, you know, it's not a history we can be very proud of. We would like to think an EPIC, and every organisation working in this area, I think, would agree that we'd like to think that in 20, 30 years' time, when we look back, we can see a point at which things began to improve, you know, radically, and where we were, could be proud of the way that we cared for children who were placed in care. And I think care is the big thing, that we need to care for these children, not simply offer a care placement to these children. I think that's fundamental in terms of a culture of moving forward and making sure that we care for all the children of the nation equally, as we have pledged to do in our constitution, and that we do this in the best possible way and provide the best level of care for any child or young person who finds themselves moved out of their family and moved into a care setting.
Right, oh, Terry, unfortunately the clock's beating us. We could go on talking about this, but EPIC, you're doing your best out there. You're, and HICWA, I suppose, are doing what they can. Do you reckon we need more social workers calling to foster homes and things like that?
I think probably, and I think, you know, Tusa would agree with this, that we need more foster workers generally. I think in some areas of the country, it's difficult to recruit foster carers and foster workers, particularly foster parents. And I think that, you know, as things improve, hopefully we'll attract more foster carers and foster parents into fostering children and young people. So that would be one call for people who may be considering this to you know, make a move to do this, because we do need more and more care for young people and children. So that would be one thing. And then after that, you know, to get sufficient numbers of social workers in place who can support those foster carers and foster parents. And I think that's another big challenge that Tusa are facing, particularly in some parts of the country. So hopefully, you know, if we can begin to address those, things will improve. But I think, you know, as you say, you know, we're working hard with many other organisations to improve the quality of care, as are Tusa. And hopefully with a collective effort, we can radically change the experience of children and young people in care.
Right, Terry, listen, thank you very much for taking the call, and it's great work you're doing, and keep it up, and hopefully we won't have to talk about this again in a few years, but we'll keep
in
touch.
Hopefully.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you very much, Terry. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, Terry Deignan there, CEO of EPIC, and it's terrible that EPIC is needed, but it is, unfortunately.